It was one of those special times. My six-year-old son and I were travelling together in the car. We were having a deep and meaningful conversation, well, as deep as the experience of my precious son. I could see the wheels methodically turning in his head. I sensed he was on the verge of something quite profound, and then out it came. "You know, Dad, I think things would work a lot better if you were the boss sometimes, and I were the boss sometimes." "Well, that certainly is an interesting suggestion," I said, clearing my throat. There was a moment of silence because I was trying to think of a good reason why his suggestion was flawed, and if I couldn't think of one, we might both end up in trouble. "Well, that's not quite how the Bible tells us how to do it, son." "But why do you have to tell me what to do all the time?" "Well, son, Jesus has asked me to teach you how to be a strong young man for him, and because he is my boss, I think I'd better do what he tells me to do." Parenting can be a real learning curve. "Son, please sit down while you're eating." "Oh, not fair." "Sweetie, please pick up your toys and put them away." "Oh, Mum, I want to go outside and play." "Son, it's time to go to bed. Cry, whinge, howl." "But you're not going to bed now. Why do I have to?" All these rules and regulations. You would think that parents are ogres all the time. Why can't children understand that you want them to sit still and eat slowly at the table so they don't upset their digestion? You want them to learn to be neat and tidy so they learn to be organised and more efficient when they get older. And why don't children appreciate that you want to prevent them from getting sick by getting plenty of sleep? Why? Because they just don't know the pitfalls and dangers of life. The Apostle Paul picks up this analogy to illustrate our journey in the Christian life. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a servant, though he be master of all." Galatians 4 verse 1. Paul describes the relationship of a child to their parent as no different to that of a servant to their master. The father must train his son into the principles of the kingdom of God. But the son with his Duracell nature does not understand the reason for all this training. Many of the lessons his father will teach him are contrary to his nature and are often hard work that seems no different to being a servant. The boy may easily wonder, "Why does my father prevent me from doing many of the things I enjoy? I feel like a slave. Son, do this. Son, don't do that. It doesn't seem fair." This situation perfectly describes God's dealing with us as he seeks to prepare us for the kingdom of God. Many look upon God's requirements as hard and exacting, and often question, "Why did God let this happen to me?" Or "Why does the Christian life seem so restrictive?" There are also many who join churches who seem content to remain as children and just want to be servants, performing the duties of the Christian life and hoping that they will be rewarded for their efforts. Such people are in danger of being engulfed by the feeling of the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son. Paul explains to us how we can be released from many of the perplexities of life and questions about God's dealing with us. When we truly comprehend that God is our Father and that he is preparing us to enter his kingdom and that he loves us intensely, then our relationship to God starts to make sense. The rules and regulations are no longer seen as restrictions and boundaries to stop us having fun. Instead, they become doors to freedom that reveal God's tender regard for us and his yearning desire for us to receive our full inheritance as children of God. Paul explains it this way: "So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." Galatians 4 verses 3 to 8. These are some of the most beautiful words in Scripture. As we recognize the sacrifice of Jesus in securing our adoption as God's children, we are released from the slavery of Satan's kingdom. We break free from the tyranny of the Duracell, and we stand strong and noble as sons and daughters of God, knowing that because of Jesus, We will always be His beloved children. Has the Spirit of God cried out in your heart, Abba Father, Daddy Daddy? Do you feel so secure in His love that you can run into His arms and know that you are not only welcome, but deeply desired by Him? Have you returned to the childish adoration of your Father that beams when He is near? Until you experience this freedom, you will always remain a slave that lives with the uncertainty that tomorrow you will be issued with your severance pay. As God's children, our inheritance is sure. We can boldly come to Him and make our requests. We can confidently trust Him that He knows what is best for us and that everything that happens to us in life is to help us to grow into a deeper understanding of the value of God's kingdom and to break the slavery of the Duracell. You will remember in chapter 6 that we discussed the incredible task that God faced in seeking to bring the human race back into His loving embrace. Here are the points again. 1. A means of giving the human race the wisdom to truly recognize their desperate situation correctly, along with a way for them to be influenced in the right direction without violating their freedom of choice. 2. A way of showing them that they had a wrong perception of His character and kingdom, and to somehow show them that He really loved them. 3. A way to remove their guilt and insecurity, restoring their true identity and value as children of God. 4. A way to reclaim their sense of purpose, their reason for existence or their destiny. 5. All of the above needed time. Adam and Eve had forfeited their own life, so they needed a life support system to give them time to choose and decide. 6. While doing all this, God must maintain a sense of justice. He can't ignore their rebellion and say it is okay. There must be a penalty for rebellion. This penalty is completely separate from the consequences of sin. Being removed from the Garden of Eden was not a punishment for sin, it was a consequence of their choice. The work of Jesus, both in His ministry and death and resurrection, has provided the solution to all 6 challenges. Who can comprehend the power of the cross of Christ? It is so much deeper than simply removing our wrong deeds, much, much more. Won't you kneel and look at the cross right now and see your emancipation from the Duracell? Can you hear the voice from heaven saying that you are His beloved child whom He adores? Won't you unburden all your guilt, resentment, pride and bitterness to Him and just allow the fullness of His joy to flood your soul? You can. Right now, if you have not already, the secret to escaping the Duracell is to no longer be a servant, but a son or daughter.